Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness, shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me. Shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Set forth your word. Word and light, very light. Good morning. Good to see you all here this morning. It's a beautiful day, and praise the Lord for the half inch of rain. At least that's what we had in town. How about out your way? A little more, okay. So it just refreshes the air and was a good blessing. So welcome. Some announcements here to go over. First of all, I'll start on back. The two flower arrangements here on my right side are actually for tomorrow for Phoebe Wagner's funeral service, but they came to Lonnie in Sioux Falls, and so they wanted to share them with us already today. And on that note, tomorrow at 11 o'clock is Phoebe Wagner's funeral. She went home to be with the Lord on Wednesday evening. Very unexpected. She had been in the Freeman Care Center, and there will be no lunch afterwards, anything like that. We'll just strictly have the funeral service, but you are welcome to come if you desire to. That will be at 11 o'clock. Also, 2 weeks from today is Confirmation Sunday here. The Trip Kids will be joining us, so there'll be seven all together getting confirmed, the kids from Freedom's Reformed. That Sunday, church starts at 10 o'clock. Okay, so We try to keep it all straight. Next Sunday, the 24th, is still 10:30. The 31st is 10 o'clock church. June 7th, we go back to 9:30 church. Okay? It's in your newsletter. Look at that. Or call if you have a question on it. The other announcement, Greg Wilcoxon had asked me to say that the Menno State Bank, the lobby, will be open for regular business starting tomorrow. We all know it's been closed and only drive-through, so that will start back to the regular hours tomorrow. You see the list of graduates here in the bulletin, college, high school, eighth grade. So we want a special congratulations to them. I think we have, how about our high school graduates? You stand. I think we have less here today than we had last Sunday. We have Grant and Avery Handel. Maybe they're the only ones. Okay, so. God bless you. The flowers in this vase, those roses, you can take a rose. We'll have those out in the narthex when we're done. You can take a rose. Give it to your sweethearts, maybe. It's fun seeing these kids grow up. You know, as long as we've been here now, they were just like 2.5 years old when we came. So, wow, quite something. And congratulations to your eighth graders. Let's see, do we have Hunter here? I don't think so. And okay, oh, Hunter is here. Sorry, Hunter Masterson, you better stand up for us, okay? Yep, he'll be, thank you. And Hunter, you get a carnation, okay? Now, if you don't know the difference between the two, your mom will help you. All right, but you probably do. So this vase, again, will be out there for you. And there are some baskets. Someone had requested, I know if you didn't know it, you weren't prepared, but if you had brought a card for the graduates or anything, there are baskets, the high school graduates out there, okay? Those are the announcements I have, so please look through the rest of them as you have time on your own. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, it's again with joy and excitement that we get to gather here together in your sanctuary, in your presence. Father, there truly is nothing better than the fellowship of believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, and worshiping you in one voice, with one heart and one spirit. And so thank you for this to be able to happen. We come with joy and great thanksgiving at your presence. And as we have just sung, we do pray that, Lord, that you would shine and you would fill this land with the Father's glory, that you would set our hearts on fire, that you would flood the nations with your grace and your mercy, that you would send forth your word and let there be light. That is our prayer for our lives, for our community and our state, for our United States of America, for our world. And so we gather here, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for filling this sanctuary with your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, our opening hymn is number 45. Crown Him with Many Crowns, number 45. Let's stand together, please. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for me. Amen. Now, was that beautiful? That was beautiful. Sure better than an empty congregation, empty sanctuary. You may be seated. God bless you. Eventually, we'll get back to the shaking and that. But for now, the joys and concerns. I'll step down here. How's my mic doing so far? Okay? All right. We've been having some challenges, so. First things here, I mentioned Phoebe Wagner's passing. Laverne is her husband, so be just remembering them in your prayers, Laverne and his kids. For those that came in later, these flowers are in memory of Phoebe for tomorrow's funeral service here at 11 o'clock. Also, I wanted to mention prayers for Evan Winterstein. Evan had served full-time in the Air Force for maybe 6 years, I'm not sure, I think about six, and now he's in the Air National Guard. Am I sort of right on that, Carmen? Okay. And he was just recently deployed overseas, so be praying for him during this time. Also, Aiden Friesen is here now. You missed your high school stand-up, so you stand up now for us, can you? Thank you. Yep, thank you. And I just think it's pretty neat, Grant and Avery and Aiden and Hillary Wade, she's not here. All four of those who got confirmed together, they all are Regent Scholars, which is, that takes extra special work. So, and one more thing, Aiden was named the FFA Star in Agribusiness, which is the highest individual award given in FFA, so there you go. Yes. Congratulations to all of you, the graduates. That's pretty much what I had. So anything else on this side over here at all? Johnny. Okay. Like this week? Okay. Prayers for Lori Whale. She's having an upcoming surgery. Excuse me, on her shoulder, possibly this week. So you let us know. Okay, we will be praying. Trisha. Jocelyn Fisher turns 13 years old tomorrow. Happy birthday to you, Jocelyn. Okay, Jennifer.
Hunter turns 14 on Wednesday.
And Hunter Masterson turns 14 on Wednesday. Happy birthday to you, Hunter. Great. Okay. Greg.
Our grandson Jackson turns 11 this coming Friday.
All right. And Greg and Melanie's grandson Jackson turns 11 on Friday. Lots of birthdays. Yes, Harriet.
Rob called last night. Rita was going to give him a haircut. He wanted our prayers.
Yeah, that could be a concern. Marina was going to give Ron a haircut last night. He called, and yes, we'll see how the outcome is. Thanks for the heads up. Yes, some are getting long-haired. Let me come to Pat Palmerville first, and then I'll come back. Okay, are those five surgeries? Oh, goodness. All right. Prayers for Lee and Pat's granddaughter-in-law, Tiffany Palmerville. She had a double mastectomy a while back and just finished her fifth surgery related to that, right, with infections. All right. So we'll continue to lift up Tiffany. Yeah. No?
We saw Ron's hair. It looks fine.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Julie says Ron's hair looks good. All right. Okay. Let's bow our heads in prayer here. What? Am I missing something? Oh, I'm sorry.
In loving memory of my mother, Tuesday she would have turned 100.
This coming Tuesday? Oh. Yeah, yes, amen. All right, in loving memory of Luella Handel, Teresa's mom, she would have been 100 this Tuesday, the 19th. Yes, thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for many birthdays here mentioned at this time, and certainly we do. We remember fondly and dearly Luella, who would have been 100 on this earth. She's in heaven. We thank you, Lord, for Phoebe Wagner at 93. She just slipped away on Wednesday evening so unexpectedly. She's home with you also. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Where would we be without you? We would be lost and in deep trouble. But you are our Savior and our Lord, and you are the one, excuse me, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And we know that no one comes to the Father except through you. Lord, as we're in this time and season, we continue to pray for all of our healthcare workers that serve, whether it's in our local care centers, clinics, the hospitals, here locally and in Sioux Falls, the great challenges that they have faced over these last months, and all the precautions that have to be taken for those that serve in the emergency room and everywhere in between. Lord, we lift them up and ask your strength to them and your hand of protection upon them and your wisdom to them in all of this, Lord. And we continue to seek you, Lord, asking for your divine intervention in this pandemic. Lord, that as it comes to an end, however and whenever, Lord, I pray that as we're going to see in the book of Daniel today, that the world would know that heaven rules, that Father, you are sovereign over all, and you would be glorified through this, Lord God. Thank you for our graduates, our college grads, high school and eighth grade graduates. We just pray a blessing upon their lives for the work they've put in to the point that they've accomplished up to now. Guide and direct them by your Spirit, Father, in what lies ahead in the next phase for their lives. Lord, we thank you for certainly the award that Aiden received from FFA, quite a wonderful accomplishment, and thank you for your blessings on him. We lift up Evan Winterstein as he's been deployed with other Air National Guards overseas. And I know there's troops around the world serving, as well as here as at home. And daily we pray for them, asking for your hand of protection upon them, that you give your angels charge over them to guard and keep them in all of their ways. Father, we thank you for the beautiful rain yesterday evening that came, so gentle. And we praise you for it. For the seed that's in the ground, what a blessing. For those that are still working on planting, Lord, we thank you for the timing to allow that to happen also. I pray for some in our congregation. I know there's several who would very much love to be here with us, but because of health compromise situations are not able to. We pray for Milo and Mary Lee, and thank you for strength to them, for Les and Kathy Melhoff. Thank you that Lee and Pat are able to be here with us today, and we pray for Tiffany Palmerville and ask for a healing, Lord. After 5 surgeries, that's got to be very difficult. Let your healing hand and touch flow through her body. We pray for Lori Whale for this upcoming shoulder surgery for whichever day it is. You know, and we ask that you go before her. For Cheryl Dubs, who's got a back surgery scheduled in early June coming soon, watch over her, and we go before in prayer. Lord, for other things mentioned that you heard that I'm not recalling, thank you for all of these requests. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'd stand, we will sing the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thank you. thank you, Father. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And we give you all the glory for all that you do in our lives. Lord, this time where we bring our tithes and our offerings to you, we give by faith, thankful that you are our provider. And again, Lord, as we pray through this season that we're in, some are finding themselves in great hardships financially. And we ask, Lord, that we could be sensitive to each other's needs in that regard, if we're aware of situations. But Father, we also ask for unexpected blessings to come, as you so wonderfully do so many times, as you so wonderfully did again with that rain yesterday. We're grateful for it. So thank you for blessing these offerings. We offer them to you with joyfulness in our hearts, in Jesus' name. And Father, we confess our faith now together through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Anne's going to come now. The kids, still, you'll still yet stay in the pew there, okay? One of these weeks you'll get back up here, but for now this is how we'll do it. No, he's not.
He's not. Jocelyn, do you want to be my helper? Is that all right? Or Alex, whoever? In a few minutes. Am I? Okay. Am I on? There we go. Thanks. You can just sit right here and I'll guide you, okay? Well, good morning again, boys and girls. Maybe I thought of this. How about if boys and girls want to stand? Then I can see where you are and I can speak right to you, okay? If you want to, that would be great. You don't have to if you don't want to, all right? Well, you grab the Bible, though, with you too. And I want your parents to help you, or you find Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. All right? As you're looking for that, we're going to continue today on, you help me out here, the armor of, that's right, the armor of God. And so why do we put on the armor of God? Because we're in a battle. That's right, we are in a battle. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10. You can read it with me through 12. Ready? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So we are in a battle. It tells us right there. And let's review our pieces of our armor. The first one we talked about was the belt of truth. That's right. We put on the belt of truth, which is God's word. We keep that around us. What's this one? Breastplate of righteousness, right. We put that on, and that reminds us that we are right with God because of Jesus, and that we do our best to act right. Then we put on, just dropped some. These remind us of the shoes of peace. We have peace because of what Jesus did for us, and we do what God tells us to do. Go and share the gospel with others. Second. And then we put on the helmet of salvation. This reminds us that we are saved through Jesus, right? So today we're going to talk about the next one. And this is called the Shield of Faith. Okay, so let's look in our Bibles again and read verse 16 together. In addition to all this, that means all the other things that we just talked about, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. That's right. Did you hear that? The devil has got some weapons against us. So let's talk a little bit about this shield. This is just a little shield, but the shield in the Roman day was 3 feet long and 3 feet wide. So that was a pretty big shield. Around it was iron. In the middle was a big iron circle. It was made of wood. It had leather on it. And actually, before these soldiers went into the battle, they took their shield and they soaked it in water, or they put a cloth of water on that. Now, why do you think they would do that? Because of what we just read. The fiery darts of the enemy. What the enemies would do is they would send arrows, and they would dip the end of their arrow into it, was whatever oil base it was, and then set it on fire. And they would throw it, you know, shoot it, and then the ones that had their shields that had the water, it would extinguish it, okay? When their arrow would hit that, it would go right off. Just like what God tells us, that we have these shields. I know, I just can't believe it. The devil would do that to us. Do you think? All right. So we're going to just show, Jocelyn is right on the spot here, going to help me out here. She's going to be, I was going to give you a choice of whether you wanted to be the exterminator, oh no, the disruptor, or if you wanted to be the shield, but you get to be the shield, okay? So you just go up there. This is the shield. This is 3 feet wide. It's not quite 3 feet long, but this is a picture of how big the shield was. Let's go up there a little further. All right, so you better go back further. This is pretty powerful, I found out. So, okay, you can just duck behind it because, you know, okay. So the devil, boys and girls, he comes against us. And he comes against us with things like against our thoughts. Like he says, I'm going to give you bad thoughts. You're going to have bad words come out of your mouth. Boom, shoots it in. What happens? Nothing, right? Huh, good. He says, well, I'm going to try something else. Not only am I wanting you to think bad thoughts and say bad words, but I'm going to have you do them. You're going to be mean. You're just going to be ugly. You're going to disrespect your parents. Boom. Huh. Darn, nothing is working here. So then he says, okay, I'm going to try another weapon here. I'm going to have you be lazy. We had all this break, and so now you're going to be lazy. You're not going to want to read your Bible. You're just going to want to play video games all day and eat Twinkies, right? You're going to be lazy. Ah, darn, I am not getting that. Choose that. The devil says, because she's got her faith up. All right, another one here. I'm going to make your emotions go crazy. I'm going to make you get so mad at your parents because you're just tired of being around them. I'm going to make you be so jealous because you don't have the same toys your friends have. I'm going to get you there. Nope, can't do it. Because she's got her shield of faith up. Last one here, not the last one. The devil does this all the time. No, we don't really see these weapons, boys and girls, but they are against our mind. He's going to say, well, I'm going to make you not believe the word, not believe God, not believe that he loves you so much. I'm going to tell you, God's not enough. He's not going to help you through this virus. Nope, he's not. Boom. He doesn't. Thanks, Jocelyn. Let's give her a hand clap. This, boys and girls, can you just like pick up those darts for me? This is like what we do when we put up our shield of faith. Our faith grows, boys and girls, by the word of God. So I challenge us this week to get hungry, get thirsty for more of God, put on your armor, take up your shield of faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for giving us the word. We thank you for giving us Jesus, for giving us the armor, the pieces that we can put on and that we could fight against the devil, be in battle against him. We thank you that you bless these boys and girls wherever they go this week. Help them to shine your light and to share your gospel with everybody. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I have a quick joke that got sent in to me this week, boys and girls. Where did Noah keep his record of the bees? Where did Noah keep his record of his bees on the ark? Of course, in the archives. Okay.
In the archives.
In the archives. You, get it? Yes,
thank
you.
Okay. This next hymn, this is not in our new hymnals, so the words you'll see on the screen. I was thinking about this just real quick before we start. One of our nurses from our church had sent a, I should have the letter up here with me. It was so neat. But as she ministers to people through this time, and I don't know that she's really been in contact with COVID patients, but she's certainly been in contact with people who have had to die alone without their family. And how wonderful it is for you that are Christian nurses, doctors, whatever it might be in the healthcare system, to be there with those individuals when the family is not allowed in. And she said in this letter, she was reminded of this song. She sees their tears, and God does too. So I just thought we'd sing this today. I've had many tears. On the wrong hymn. Starting out, let's pray. Thank you, Father. You hear every prayer that's lifted up in every situation. You see every tear. You see every laughter of joy and praise and thanksgiving. You know us inside and out. And so, Father, again, we thank you for your word, the anointed word of God. the living, active Word of God, that we are privileged to live in a day that we have it available to us in every shape or form that we could ever even imagine. So, Father, speak to our hearts today, we pray. And I ask that you would speak through me by your Spirit to those gathered here. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're in Daniel chapter 4. Now this chapter is 37 verses long, just so you know. So I'm not going to read it as normally I would, the passage through ahead of time. We'll read it as we're working through it, piece by piece. I thought it'd be better to go that way. So last Sunday we took a different direction because it was Mother's Day, but prior to that we had 3 services looking at Daniel, how he lived, taken captive over to Babylon in a very ungodly culture, a culture where they worshipped multiple false gods, and how he and his friends stood on the Word of God that they had been taught, and how that looks for us today. He had his mind made up. We talked about that. He was a man of prayer. We spent 2 Sundays on that. Today, we're going to see how he dealt with King Nebuchadnezzar for the first 30 years of his captivity over there. Nebuchadnezzar was king. Daniel was there very high in that government for 4 different kings for 70 years. He served faithfully and honored God. So Nebuchadnezzar, this is going to be the last time we see him, really, in chapter 4. Chapter 5 of Daniel comes Nebuchadnezzar's grandson called Belshazzar. Now, if you're reading chapter 5 later during the week, you're going to read it where it says, now Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, you have to realize at that time, that's how often they referred to things as son, even though it could have been grandson. Okay, so don't let that throw you. We know from history that Belshazzar was his grandson. That shouldn't, in our culture, that seems odd, but in the Navajo culture, even today, that's very clearly how it is. You know, cousin, sister, they refer to as a sister that could be a second cousin out or things like that. So I'm just saying, don't let it throw you. Nebuchadnezzar was a very prideful man, a very cruel man as he reigned. As a matter of fact, in chapter 5 of Daniel, we're in chapter 4, but I just want to read a verse over there in chapter 5, verse 19, where it's looking back at Nebuchadnezzar and what it says about him. It says, because of the high position God gave him, Nebuchadnezzar, all the peoples and nations and men of every language dreaded and feared him. Those he wanted to put to death, he put to death. Those he wanted to spare, he spared. So he was not a man of much mercy at all. If he didn't like you, that was it. So he was very prideful. Okay. Some of you hear that, maybe some of you don't. I don't hear it up here, but we'll go to this. I guess there was an echo thing going on with my voice, so we all hear differently. We know that, right? That's why the guys in the sound booth have a difficult job. Because for some it's too loud, for others it's not loud enough, and so on. But anyway, pride, we all know about pride. It's something we all have to deal with. It's part of the sinful, fallen nature. I want it to be about me. We live in a very prideful world. Me, me, me. I want you to notice me, right? What pride can lead to, and what it did really for Nebuchadnezzar, is it leads to a person putting themselves in the place of God. Very dangerous. That's what, if we go way back to Lucifer, as God created him as an angel to lead the praise and worship in heaven, what happened? Pride entered in. He said, if we'd look at Isaiah 14, you don't have to go there. Isaiah 14 says, there's 4 I will statements. He says, I will exalt myself above the throne of God. That's when he got kicked out of heaven. That's when he became Satan, the devil, as we know him today. So let's start into this here on these points. Number one, as we look through this fourth chapter, we have got to know that God rules. You might think, well, yeah, I know that, Pastor Mike. But do we? Do we really know that in the midst of the situation where we are now? Do we know that God rules? There's four times in this chapter where this phrase, similar rephrase, is repeated. The fourth chapter of Daniel. Now, we won't get to these verses yet, Joni. I'll start in verse 1 in just a minute, okay? So you're not jumping around. Where is he going? Just to let you know. First, verse 17, it says, so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men. Verse 25, God is saying to Nebuchadnezzar, until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the affairs of men. Verse 32, he says it again. Verse 34, he says it again. Do you know what sovereign means, even? It means that God is the supreme authority and all things are under his control. That's what that word sovereign means. God rules. He reigns. Okay. Second, some of these will go quick. Some will be a little longer if you're doing your outline. The second point there, we got to look. So in this fourth chapter, Nebuchadnezzar is really giving his testimony. So the reason for Nebuchadnezzar's testimony, it's pretty amazing. Now we'll go to verse 1, Joni, okay? Please. Chapter 4, verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar, he's writing this, to the peoples, nations, and men of every language who live in all the world, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. And then verse 3. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. This is his introduction, Nebuchadnezzar, in chapter 4 here. And we're going to see he starts out the first three verses giving praise to God. He ends the chapter giving praise to God. And in between, he's going to tell how God dealt with his life and his pride in this situation. So who's he telling? Letter A, who is he telling this to? To the peoples, nations, men of every language who live in all the world. As I've said this before in the previous messages, we got to realize that Babylon was the ruling power of the world at this time. We're back 600 years before Christ was born in Bethlehem. That's where we're at. He ruled as the world power, and he knew it. And he was proud of it. And he's going to tell his testimony. Do you know what? I think we all know the testimony of a changed person is very powerful. The evidence of Jesus Christ and his work in our lives consistently, faithfully, is incredible. Now, God, it took a good part of this 30 years of God working in Nebuchadnezzar's life for this change to happen. He showed himself to him more than once in chapter 2. There, that was when, when he made that statue of gold. No, he had the dream, of the statue of the head of gold and the different metals all the way down, and nobody could interpret it except Daniel by the Spirit of God. Nebuchadnezzar saw God's dealing there, but see, he was used to a system of many gods, many false gods. So he just thought that Daniel's God was another god among them all. And you'll see his wording in that way. Chapter 3 was when he built that image of gold 90 feet high and everybody had to bow down and worship that. Remember when the music played, or you're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace? That was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He saw the power of God in that chapter 2. But yet it still wasn't, he still didn't get it. His pride only was getting greater. Again, he was just mixing their God, the one true God, in with his false gods. It doesn't work that way. But God kept working in his life. What should that encourage us today? Well, we all have people that we know, maybe relatives, ones we love dearly, who are very resistant to the message of Jesus Christ. Keep praying. Keep praying for them. Keep sharing as you have opportunity and open doors. You never know what the Spirit of God is doing within their heart and their mind. He's at work. All right. Third, look at this, the danger of pride. It is a dangerous thing for all of us. Chapter 4, verse 4, Joni, we'll pick up there. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace. So now he's starting. Contented and prosperous. Remember that. I had a dream that made me afraid. As I was lying in my bed, the images and visions that passed through my mind terrified me. So I commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me. When the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners came, I told them to dream, but they could not interpret it for me. Finally, Daniel came into my presence, and I told him the dream. He is called Belteshazzar, after the name of my God. See, there it is. And the spirit of the holy God is in him. I said, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, I know that the spirit of the holy gods, little g, right, in there, is in you, and no mystery is too difficult for you. Here is my dream. Interpret it for me. Now, that first verse 4 started out, I was living in my palace in comfort and prosperity. Listen, that was the new living, in comfort and prosperity. NIV says contented and prosperous. We all like to be in that place, don't we? But that can be a very dangerous place to be in. Because what happens when we're contented and prosperous and at ease? 1 Peter, there it, be alert, be sober, for your enemy, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, standing firm in your faith. Just when we think, I can take my rest. We better be on guard because there's someone watching to jump in there and knock us down, to tempt us, to do whatever. Just when we think we've got everything all figured out, he comes and attacks and we find out differently. Boy, we sure, if we didn't learn that this year of 2020 yet, we better learn it soon. But God kept working with Nebuchadnezzar, and he keeps working in our lives. See, he's using the language, as I said there before, he was still in this mode of there's many gods. There is not. There is one true God. And he's using that language because that's what he's familiar with. I've told you more than once over the years the testimony, I'm not going into it, but the testimony of when we were at Cameron with the Navajos, that man that was a medicine man in that little community there, he was up in his 90s, his wife was a Christian, he wasn't, and how God supernaturally healed that man. I can't go into it all now because I want to get through more of this. But after he was healed, and he knew it, he said in his language, he said to me, well, he said to his wife, he said, you tell him I'll be over there at that church Sunday morning so they can do some more of their medicine on me, their ceremony. Because that's all he knew. That's all he knew. But he eventually did get saved and lived to just over 100 years old. So Nebuchadnezzar, we're seeing that language because that's all he knew. All right, so the dream, verse 10, let's go to that, please. Here it is, verse 10. These are the visions I saw while laying in my bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Its leaves were beautiful, its fruit abundant, and on it was food for all. Under it, the beasts of the field found shelter, and the birds of the air lived in its branches. From it, every creature was fed. In the visions I saw while lying in my bed, I looked, and there before me was a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven. Let's go on. He called in a loud voice, "Cut down the tree and trim off its branches, strip off its leaves and scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches. But let the stump and its roots, bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground, in the grass of the field. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal, till seven times pass by for him." One more verse. "The decision is announced by the messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict, so that the living," here we go, "so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets them over the lowliest of men." That is it. Now, listen, we'll go to 18 in just a second here, Joni. Nebuchadnezzar was so full of pride, so full of himself, he could not even realize that that dream might have been about him. He just thought he's the greatest thing on earth, greatest thing that ever lived. All this that he had built and established by his might and his power. Oh, look at me, Nebuchadnezzar. And God, that phrase there in verse 17, "so that the living may know," that's the purpose, your letter B. That's the purpose of this chapter 4. "So that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes, sets over them even the lowliest of men." God is still saying that today, loud and clear. He is saying, "I rule and I reign." And I pray, I've said this probably how many times over these last 2-3 months, I believe he's got our attention as his children. A matter of fact, I just saw this in yesterday's Yankton paper. I cut it out. I'm not going to read it all. But it says this: the coronavirus has prompted almost 2/3 of American believers of all faiths, so I'm not sure how far they went with the all faiths statement, but has prompted them to feel that God is telling humanity to change how it lives. 2/3. Yes, amen is right. That's pretty good. One man they interviewed who said, I'm not a religious person, but he says it could be a sign like God saying, "Hey, get your act together," this guy says. "It just seems like everything was going in an okay direction, and all of a sudden you get this virus thing that happens, it pops out of nowhere." Yeah, I would say so. I would say so. God rules. The warning. Okay, let's go to that. Number 4, and I don't think I read verse 18, so let me start there. "This is the dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar," that was Daniel, "tell me what it means, for none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me, but you can, because the spirit of the holy gods is in you." Notice that language. Go on. "Then Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him." What we're going to see, because Daniel, he had great respect for King Nebuchadnezzar. He really did. Had served him faithfully and loved him. He knew this dream was about Nebuchadnezzar, and he was scared to tell him. Terrified. So the king said, "Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its meaning alarm you." Belteshazzar answered, "My lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversaries. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to the beasts of the field, and having nesting, I'm going to have my glasses checked, nesting places in its branches for the birds of the air, okay? Oh, you, O King, are that tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. Wow. You, O God, we'll pick up in a second. You, O God, are that tree. What that statement, does it remind you of something else in the Old Testament? Someone else? How about David, King David, with his sin with Bathsheba? And he thought he had gotten away with that for a whole year. And God brings the prophet Nathan to him, gives him a parable. Remember the man that had all these sheep and lambs and he wanted to do a feast. Instead of taking one from his own flock, he finds one that only had one little ewe lamb, it says, and he took it from him. And it made King David so mad, he said, "Who is that man? He ought to be what put to death," whatever his punishment was. And Nathan the prophet said, "You are that man." And David repented right there on the spot, didn't he? Here, King Nebuchadnezzar, he could not see himself in that. Daniel said, "You, O King, are that man. You are that tree in this vision." So full of himself, again, in all of this that we're facing too, some, yes, thank God we had a day of prayer here. That's a national day of prayer recently, May 7th. Early on, our president declared a national day of prayer. I was thankful for that. Our governor did too. I was thankful for that. But so much of it. Now, I know the church is praying. I know the believers are praying earnestly. We all are. But so much of the news, I just have to touch on this again, it's all science, science, science. And I'm not knocking that, okay? Thank God for science and technology. But so much, God gets very little of the glory of all that. It's all man's doing. And it is not. It is not. And what is it going to take to shake the nation? God's shaking it. He is. God gives Nebuchadnezzar a whole year to repent. Do you know that? Let's jump down to verse 25, Joni, please. It says, "You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times," that's 7 years, "will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men." We all have to do that. We all have to. I pray that everyone here has. If we're calling ourselves believers in Christ, we should have come to that point. Again, in verse 26, the command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Can you say that after me? Heaven rules. Yeah, let's say it again together. Heaven rules. Amen. God rules. Verse 27, "Therefore, O King, be pleased to accept my advice." Here he's telling him, repent. Verse 27, "Renounce your sins by doing what is right and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed." That's important. It may be that then your prosperity will continue. The dream fulfilled, number five. I'm going to verse 29 here. 12 months later, that's where I get the year. He had a year to repent. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace in Babylon, he said, Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence? By my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty." Yeah, if that isn't the height of pride, I don't know what is. "Look at all I have done." Wow. It was a magnificent city. I'm not going into all that again. I have before the dimensions of it and all. It was glorious in its day. Verse 34. let's see. Let's see. 31. Sorry, Joni. I got it here. Some of this I typed out, some I didn't. The words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. Go on. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. Seven times will pass by for you until, here it is again, until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. Go on. Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He lost his mind. Literally, he lost his mind. It snapped just like that. You had to realize he was pretty near a genius of a man, truly. He was driven away from people and he ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. Go ahead. You think 3 months is a long time to go without a haircut? Try 7 years. Last time I got my haircut, thankfully I've been able to have two during this time. Last time I was there, Melanie, as she was cutting my hair, showed me this little clip on whatever, YouTube or Facebook, I don't know what it was, of this lady, Southern lady, giving herself a haircut in the mirror. And it was quite a hoot. Maybe some of you seen it. I'm not going into that, but 7 years. It grew as long as an eagle's feathers, it says there. Six, the king restored. And it was just as was prophesied. At the end of that time, verse 34 is where I'm at, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven and my sanity was restored. Look here. Then I praised the Most High. See, now his language is changing right here. From the previous one among the gods, little g, what he had been, now all of a sudden notice his language. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were restored to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and heaven. Became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, here it is, praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just, and those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. And so he is. Wow, what a lesson there for all of us, in whatever ways of life we're dealing with. The message of Nebuchadnezzar is pretty simple. God rules. He rules. And we got to keep that in mind. We pray that the world, the nation, can figure that out once again, as was our founding. The forefathers had that figured out. They knew it well, that God ruled according to his word in the affairs of men. They knew it. That's why you go to Washington, D.C., you see so many of the monuments have scriptures engraved upon them. It's obvious. And yet we're living in a day when we have a side that's trying to strip that from us. We got to be earnest, vigilant in our prayers, in our faith. We must. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Lord, we all are guilty of the sin of pride. I hope not to the extreme of Nebuchadnezzar, but you know our hearts. And if there are areas in our lives, I imagine there are, where we're not even aware of the pride issue in a situation, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't even aware. Lord, speak to our hearts by your Spirit clearly that we can repent. You are our Lord and our God and our Father. We know that. As a church, we know that. We proclaim it loud and clear that heaven rules, that you are sovereign over all. And we know that you're mightily at work in this day in which we live, and we thank you for it. And our trust is in you. Our eyes are upon you. Thank you for blessing each one here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our closing hymn here, it's one, it's probably not as familiar, but the words, you just can't find any better with this passage of Scripture. It's called Immortal, Invisible, Only Wise God. There's so much in this hymn. I want you to really think about it as you're singing. Let's stand, please. Receive the benediction. And now may the God of all hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And we are going to sing God Bless America again.